And we are back at Channel 9 Live here at Ignite in Orlando, Florida. And I'm so excited about this conversation. My name is Christina Warren, and I'm joined by three of my colleagues. And we are going to be talking about how to build more inclusive and diverse teams. So to my left is Pumala, Sonia, and Kathy. And first of all, how has everyone's Ignite been so far?
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
What day is it?
Exactly. Today's Thursday. And you gave a talk
today. What's my name?
Poulin and Sonia have both been up here on the stage, and I know that you've both given talks. Kathy, how has your Ignite been so far?
Also crazy, but I've been in the back end coordinating our executive meetings for our Intune and configuration manager high ups.
Oh.
Well, that's definitely,
yeah.
That's
that's crazy.
Definitely. I think some of us would rather have to be on stage speaking than having to deal with some of that. So we're glad you could be here. But I kind of want to kind of open up the conversation. Now, obviously, the way I think about diversity is more than just, you know, gender. And I don't like to think of it in just kind of those narrow terms. But since we are all women on stage, and we're at a conference where, although we have a lot of diversity and tech initiatives happening and some great meetups, there still aren't a lot of women in the ops space and in technology in general. And I just wanted to kind of get some of your perspectives. Is there any advice that you can kind of offer for people who might be interested in entering the space, or for teams who might be looking at trying to be more inclusive and to be diverse? I'll start with you, Pumala. Yeah.
If you're interested in tech, computers, try it. If you don't like it, you can always leave and go to a different area. You can try programming. You can try program management. But at least try it. You never know until you try it. I mean, that's how I thought I'd like networking. And then I got into servers, and now I'm like, I can't leave.
Well, you're the exchange goddess.
Yes, I'm the exchange goddess. The one and only.
The one and only. As Sonia, you and I, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you said something kind of interesting to me when it comes to technical roles, not just having to be about code. Can you kind of share that again?
And so many people I talk to, regardless of their gender or their background, feel that if they don't know how to code, or if they don't like coding, it's not really their thing, then technology is not the place for them. And you know, I'm an IT pro. I like playing with infrastructure and servers, and I can code PowerShell, but that's kind of my only entryway into that world. And so there are so many other roles available in our industry, right from project marketing managers to there's just so much scope for what goes on behind the scenes, behind the coders, to get products shipped, to deliver services, to keep our customers happy. And there are so many exciting facets to that. And you don't need to feel, if you're doing one of those roles, that you are less technical because you're not sitting writing code. There's a place for everybody.
And Kathy, do I understand correctly, you've actually started a virtual user group for women in ops?
Well, yeah, IT pro space.
IT pro space,
because
yes.
There are so many things for women to be developers and code, which is great. We need
right.
women there.
Yeah, we do.
But we haven't had as much for women in the IT pro space, and there is so much more to it. I was a theater arts major in college.
That's awesome.
I majored in pop culture, so.
Right, so there are a lot of ways in here. And I also have to say that feeling discrimination is not unique to the tech industry.
Absolutely.
My mom was a university professor, and she was told she would never make tenure because she was a woman. And this was back in the mid-80s. So say to people you shouldn't go into tech because of that. It can be everywhere. But also as to building a more diverse workplace, I've been really fortunate to work in Brad Anderson's group on and off for a long time, and he is someone who really has championed diversity. And if I go to meetings where there are literally as many women as men, or I've been in some where there are more women than men in the room, and those are engineers. So it really having that culture come from the top down, getting more women managers has been, I think, really crucial. There are many women managers in that group.
I think you bring up a great point that it's nice for us to see ourselves represented in the workplace, and that can be something that can help bring more diverse people onto a team. If when you're going out hiring people, if they are looking at the makeup of what an organization looks like, they're going to feel more comfortable. And it is true to bring. It is important to get more managers involved. What can we do? Do you think, kind of as an industry, to help that process? Because it's great to get people in the door, but to get people promoted, what does anyone have any ideas of what we can do to get people promoted and get people more visible so that we can continue to hire more diverse and inclusive teams?
Yeah. So I know that there are a lot of sort of grassroots efforts, like on social media, with people building lists about incredible people in our industry that you can go to and talk to. I know that we hear from companies that they are having trouble finding diverse candidates to actually apply for the jobs in the first place, or conferences that are having issues saying, but we just didn't have anybody else put in a call to come and speak at our conference, which is why we ended up with the panels that we've got. I think we really need to take a good look at where we are putting our messages of those opportunities. So are we reaching out to the right spaces? Are we getting our messages out to diverse audiences to say, we have a role, we have an opportunity here, or we have a conference that we'd like you to speak at? Just re-examine the traditional channels that you're using and make sure that you're going out to sort of different areas and communities to say, we are looking for people.
And Kathy, your experience kind of building the user group for women in IT pros, have you found that's been helpful for helping people kind of get to the next stage in their career and having that sense of camaraderie and community, that's been beneficial? What can you tell us kind of about that experience?
Well, it's only a couple months old.
Sure, yeah.
So we're still toddling, but that's definitely one of the goals. And then also after we get more established here, my next phase would be to start looking at some of the programs for young girls.
Yeah.
And say, like, we have one in Seattle called Inspiring Girls in Technology Evolution, Ignite, not the same as the conference. And, you know, there are coding camps and things that reach out to girls in that way and say, hey, let's add some other elements to that coding and talk about the other things involved in creating software, or let's do some IT pro activities and make women know that, hey, here are some other things you might be doing, creating users, managing email servers.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. My eldest is 13 years old, and she is an extension program for STEM in her school. And she goes along and she comes home and she says, Mom, I was the only girl in the room. And I'm like, darling, sometimes you just need to be the girl. Be the girl in the room and go and do a great job. And just giving her the strength to walk into those environments and know it's okay for her to be there, even if she doesn't see anybody that she identifies with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if little girls are going to join, I always tell them, be yourself. Like you said, be the girl. And even women that are in tech now, be yourself. Be that woman. If you're the only one on the team, own it. Don't become one of the guys. I did, and it's a huge mistake because you're not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at me now. I wear dresses. I am a woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better, and there's so much empowerment behind that. To walk in and say, yeah, I am the woman in this room. Hear me roar.
Something that I think, I love that, and continue to roar, we all should. Something I think sometimes get overlooked is we talk about, I guess, the good reasons why we want to bring in more diverse teams because maybe some people feel like that's the right thing to do. But there's a really good business case for it, too. And I think that sometimes gets overlooked, you know, is that when we have more diverse people working on products and have different experiences, we can make those products better.
When you have a diverse team, you have a diverse mindset and perspective, you're going to build better products because everyone just comes from a different background. I know every team that I've been on that has a diverse background, not just women and men, but all aspects of diversity. It's amazing to see a product grow from nothing to just this beautiful fruition of a product when you've got so many people chiming into it.
And I like what you mentioned in terms of diversity of thought. So it's not necessarily just appearance or the culture that you're from. It's people that have lived different stories. They have different backgrounds and different perspectives. And when you look at it, really, that's what our customer base looks like. Our customer base isn't this one bland thing where everybody's the same. We have a really diverse and unique range of customers. And so if we're not putting that kind of impact into our products and services, how can we expect different people in our audiences to resonate and connect with what we're trying to achieve?
I was at an internal conference and heard someone from LinkedIn speaking, and she said that they're not just looking at the top tier universities and standard
that's
channels
important.
Coming in, because that's another way that we're not being diverse. So they're looking at community college graduates and people with different life experiences.
And people who never went to
community
college.
Community schools are excellent for IT professionals, because those schools are actually training the students for on-hands managing infrastructure, servers, network equipment. It's amazing. Actually, that's where I went. I went to a community school.
Mm-hmm.
And my first day in an IT job, I was building servers.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you're not. But I got that experience from a community school, so I think it's excellent.
Well, and I think we should reach more into theater, because anyone who has been a stage manager can definitely be a program manager.
No, you make an excellent point. I used to be a journalist, and I oftentimes think, you know, when I look at program management, like when I first came to the field, I was like, oh, this is just like being a managing editor. This is the same skill set, mm-hmm. but people sometimes have it in their mind as to what you were saying earlier, Sonia, that, oh, because I don't have this background, I'm not technical because I'm not maybe, mm-hmm. you know, writing the code. If you want to write the code, that's great, but there are a lot of other avenues you can do as well. But I thought, Kathy, what you were saying about, and what you're following up with, Pumla, about, you know, where you go to school and not just looking at those top line things are important. And I think that I would love all of your perspective, but when we are looking at hiring teams, I try not to look at any of that information. I try to not look at those aspects of any of the candidates that I have on interview loops. I just want to kind of get to know them as people. But of course, getting through that first step, you know, can often be a challenge. But mm-hmm. I think hopefully that's something as an industry we can maybe work towards paying less attention to, so that we can bring in people from different backgrounds.
I agree. You don't need to have a college education to work in IT. Yeah. One of the best managers I ever had was a self-taught Linux admin. Amazing. Taught me so much. And didn't have a college degree.
Mm-hmm. And my nephew went from a bartender to being a coder. Self-study.
Yeah, awesome. And so I had no IT experience at all, and I had a company that took a chance on me and trained me from scratch within the organization. And I've been in the position of being a hiring manager before as well, and I'm less interested in your qualifications. I'm more interested in what you've achieved. So tell me the story in your resume of the impact that you've had and the collaboration that you've had with other teams and what you've achieved. That's far more important than the degree on your paper.
That's great. That's great. And I think that's great advice, too, for people to really kind of tell that story mm-hmm. on the resume of what they've achieved rather than worrying so much about, do I have all of these points?
Yeah.
It's excellent.
I would also say you have to network, though, because
yeah.
I think
yes.
that's really, you're yes. going to get your resume over the threshold faster than if you're trying to go through all the AIs looking through terms and things.
No, I would agree with that. And I think that's why it's important that whether they're virtual or they're in person or they're at events like this, it's important for us to have meetups for all types of different people to kind of have an opportunity to come together and have support systems and feel comfortable so that you meet somebody and can know to pass something along if the time comes. And for us to mentor other people too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I wish we could talk about this longer. This is a great topic. Kathy, Sonia, Pumla, thank you all so much for joining me. And we are going to be back in a couple of minutes with talking about Java on Azure. And we will see you later.